Well, as our readings certainly suggested, we'd end up talking about sheep and shepherds. The sermon title makes it unequivocal. We're going to talk about sheep and shepherds, which is, of course, always tricky because we don't have as much connection with sheep as other places do. I have known some people who keep sheep in Canada, but they're on the whole, they tend to be a minority. We keep other things, cows, and in my case, I keep children. And that's about as close as I've come. I did have some cats, so I know what it's like to herd those as well as anything else. But when we think of sheep, for most of us, we end up with almost cartoon views of what they're like. And I freely admit, I've at least occasionally sort of fed into this by highlighting the essential, stupidity might be too strong a word, but I don't know what else to use of sheep. I mean, sheep are one of the few animals that are quite capable of following each other off a cliff, for example. Not because they're being chased by anything, but just because the sheep ahead of them did it, and they may as well. And I'm sure I've told you the story of, this is still my favorite story about sheep, where the sheep were being brought back into the sheepfold, as we read here, and the gate was there before them, completely wide open, and for some reason the first sheep decided to go not through the gate, but to scrabble their way under the fence right beside the gate, not hundreds of meters away, but about five, like just right beside the gate. And my friend John, who watched this in almost stunned disbelief, watched this first sheep force its way under the fence into the sheepfold, like into the pen, and every sheep afterwards doing the same thing. Well, what do you do with that? I mean, well, how do you manage an animal like that? And when we have that in the back of our mind, and we look at Jesus talking himself about being a shepherd, perhaps we begin to understand exactly some of the challenges that Jesus might face trying to show us where we need to go. Christian people, people in general often find it difficult to follow rules and to follow where they need to go. So I suppose it's not too much of a surprise that Jesus would use sheep as an example. But at the same time, if we're not careful, we'll end up looking at sheep and looking at us as if we have, you know, basically no volition and we're just these sort of witless blobs that need to be pulled around. And that's not the case either. Because sheep, while they might not be the cleverest animal that humans have ever domesticated, they're certainly not completely without value, of course. I mean, it's not just wool and things. And the thing that I find interesting, particularly in our John passage where we hear about sheep, is we hear about one of the upsides of being a sheep, and it's where Jesus says, well, first of all, he goes and says, you can tell the difference between sort of a thief and a non-thief. The thieves crawl over the fence to sneak in, but shepherds actually go through the gate the way they're supposed to. And then says, the shepherd calls the sheep by name and leads them out, and brings them all out and goes on ahead of the sheep. The sheep follow because they know his voice. So it's not that sheep will just follow anything, although they sometimes follow each other into bad places, and there's a metaphor for perhaps some human behavior, but that sheep also will follow their shepherd. We sometimes make it too hard for us, I think, when we think this whole idea that when it comes to following God, we need to figure it all out ourselves. At least speaking as human beings, we need to figure out exactly what it is we're supposed to do, and then we do it, and then we hope we're right at the end of this whole process. And I think that's a little backwards, because what Jesus says in this passage and in all other places of Scripture where Jesus is talking about his people, he says, you don't figure out what you need to do as much as you listen to me, and I will then tell you what you need to do. Now, don't get me wrong. This isn't that Jesus is going to tell you how to work out every single decision you make every day. He's not going to tell you how to deal with every single thought you have every day. I just came across a terrifying statistic that I hope is wrong, that the average human being has 60,000 thoughts a day. I might explain why we're so tired at the end of the day, I suppose, but 60,000 thoughts. How many of those are worthwhile or useful or even have any point in thinking about them at all. I expect a lot of those thoughts are, it's hot in here, or it's cold, or whatever else might be. But we're thinking all the time. And I don't want us to think from this passage that Jesus, as shepherd, is going to tell us every single thing we do, or everything that we should do. I used to run into this fairly often when I was still dealing with students who are looking for God's leading. And that's a wonderful thing, that you should look for where God wants you to go. But they would sometimes get a little more detailed than I think God was interested in. And the example that I frequently used for them is that when you get up in the morning, God, and I mean this in the best sense, doesn't care what you wear to class. He's not going to tell you to wear this shirt or that shirt or whatever else. He just wants you to go to class dressed. Wear whatever makes you happy. That's irrelevant in a very real sense to God. He just says, look, you need to go appropriately dressed within that very wide set of constraints. Just go ahead. And so as we work our way back from that, eventually we do come to the things where God does want to give us some guidance, and we need to listen to what those things might be. Vocational choices, life partner choices, the way we spend our time, where we volunteer, all of these things are places where we can be open to God giving us leading, saying, this is a good place for you to go. This is a good place for you to exercise the gifts I've given you. But we need to listen for those things. And then we come into the difficulty of, well, how do we know? How do we know the difference between our own selfish desires and God's leading? Well, I wish it was easy. And I wish it was as simple, if you will, as it is in this passage, where Jesus says, the sheep follow the shepherd because they know the shepherd's voice. And yet it almost is that simple. We begin with sort of the big picture of things that we want to do. Jesus has never called anyone to become a drug dealer. That's pretty straightforward, and it's almost sort of silly. But, well, I chose it because it's kind of silly. We look at the larger picture, and we say that the call of Jesus, when we have this feeling that we should do something, we have a desire to go in some direction, we wonder, is this God calling me to go there or not? We listen to the quality of the call. What is it about? Is it something that most people would think brings life and goodness, or brings death and destruction? I mean, let's just start with sort of the big, easy categories. Jesus is not going to call you to become a drug dealer, to become a human smuggler, to become any of those sorts of things that are breaking the law and damaging human beings. It can get kind of tricky at some points when you're dealing with oppressive governments and some other sorts of things, but thankfully most of us aren't doing that. When we look at what we think we're called to, and we look at it and we say, well, this makes sense. This is not a bad thing. It's a good thing. Say you're coming to the end of your time at university. You're looking at, what do I do next? Do I go for another degree, as some people do? Do I go into this career that I'm trained for? These are both good things, and that's where it gets a little more difficult. And that's where we need to exercise this ability of listening for the voice of Jesus. Every so often we get very clear words from Jesus, either through people or sometimes through a miraculous intervention about where we should go, but often it's not quite as clear as that. And often what we end up needing to do is realizing that Jesus speaks to us not just through our ears from his mouth, as it were, but Jesus speaks to us through the people around us. Jesus frequently speaks to us through our desires, oddly enough. And for those of us who may have grown up in a religious tradition that sort of highlights deprivation and maybe even suffering, it's hard for us to believe that Jesus speaks to us through what we want to do. I used to hear that often with students when they were looking for areas of volunteering and they were wondering if they should go do this kind of thing. And they'd say, well, I'd like to do this, but I think I'd enjoy it. And I would heave a sigh, hopefully not too obvious to them, and say, you know, you're not put on this earth to be miserable. The fact that you enjoy something is probably a pretty good indication that it's part of your gifting and part of your personality and one of the places that you can be most effective. If I wasn't allowed to do what I enjoy doing, I wouldn't be here. Pretty sure Peggy wouldn't be playing the organ. I think most of us wouldn't be doing what we do. We do what we're doing because we enjoy it. And those desires have been placed in us not by some kind of malign spiritual force. They've been placed there by God. And when we're listening to Jesus, when we're listening to this shepherd to know what we should do next or whether we should continue what we're doing, it often comes through those things that we enjoy. And those things that we look at and we get tremendous satisfaction from, not just because they make us selfishly happy. When you talk to people about the things that give them the most satisfaction, almost always they involve other people. You talk about people, what's a perfect evening, what's a perfect day, whatever you want to talk about, using those sorts of, what makes a great experience. So often, for people, it involves a connection with others that makes everybody better. A perfect day is a picnic in the park. What could be better than that? A picnic in the park is good for everybody involved. It's not selfish to want to do that. It's not selfish to want to do the things that you're good at that make a positive difference in the world. Jesus says, the shepherd brings the sheep out and they follow the shepherd because they know that voice. The sheep won't follow a stranger. In fact, they'll run away from a stranger. And I used to wonder what that might mean, other than in the context of sheep, because it's pretty clear what that means there. But for us, like, what does this mean? And I think there's a couple of things going on in there. And first of all, you can't recognize a stranger if you don't have any non-strangers in your life. It's sort of a truism, but it's worth pointing out that if you're going to recognize a stranger, you have to know what a non-stranger is. If you want to know who's in your family, if you want to know someone who's not in your family, you have to know who is in your family. And to bring it back to this, if we're going to recognize a stranger's voice, we have to know Jesus' voice, first of all. And the way we do that is, well, through Scripture, through reading the Gospels in particular, to hear what Jesus said and how he said it. And then through interacting with the body of Christ, the church now, and to see what has the church thought about things over the long haul. I'm not talking about following fads or the latest idea, but when we think of the things that the church has talked about and valued for centuries, caring for people, getting together to worship, enjoying each other's company, eating and fellowshipping together, these are all things that the church has always talked about. And when we think of what it is we want to do next, if we're thinking about, am I hearing the actual shepherd? We think, does this fit with what we already know? I mean, part of this is an encouragement for us to make sure that we don't forget to spend time with God's people and in God's Word, because that's what attunes us to the voice of Jesus, to continue with this metaphor. But when we're trying to follow Jesus, when we're listening for that voice, we really can trust that inner sense of, does this match with what I know about Jesus? Does this match with what I've seen the church do over and over and over again? It doesn't mean we're not going to make mistakes, because of course we will. I've occasionally said I think it's impossible for somebody to fool me with Heather's voice. I wouldn't want to put that as any kind of a life and death sort of thing, but you know, I've got a good ear. I hear voices and remember them fairly well. Even there, I'm occasionally fooled. I'll hear someone in a crowd and think, oh, that must be that person, and turn around, and it's not them at all. That doesn't mean that I suddenly throw out my ability to recognize voices. And the fact that we may have occasionally made mistakes as we're trying to follow Jesus and realize that subsequent to our decision that, no, it might not have been exactly where I should have gone. It doesn't mean that we've never gotten anything right. It doesn't mean that we've suddenly transition from being a sheep to being a dog or a wolf or a goat or whatever, whichever one of the many images we want to use for not being a sheep in Scripture. What it means is that we continue to learn to recognize the voice of Jesus. We continue to follow the shepherd. And every time we get that right, we get a little bit better at it. It's easy to make mistakes when you first meet somebody. It's easy to misunderstand what they mean. It's easy to not know exactly when they're joking and when they're not. Over time, that becomes less so. Over time, you realize that, you know, you really do understand this person. And to those of you who have been in long-term relationships, not just in marriage, but with, you know, friends that you've had for years and years, when you think of it, how often do you misunderstand what they mean? Well, it happens sometimes, but almost never. Because you put in the time to know what it is that they're saying. Fill in those gaps when they don't have time to explain everything to you. When a long-term friend says, I need to help you again. I need you to help me again like you did that time, I think it was two summers ago. And you go, oh, that, okay. You know exactly what that means. Someone that you met last week who says something similar to that is going to be completely incomprehensible. And it doesn't mean that there's anything wrong with your ability to understand them or anything brilliant about your ability to understand the first one. It's that you've spent the time to get to know what this sounds like. And you've spent the time to know what's actually being said. When we think of ourselves as sheep, it's important for us to remember that sheep, well, they certainly need a shepherd and need to be led and occasionally do silly things, over time become better and better at hearing the shepherd and less likely to do those silly things. Jesus is our shepherd. Jesus is the one that we need to learn how to hear, know how to listen to, and to depend on to make the best decisions about what we should do next. And the only way we can do that is by getting to know his voice. I hasten to add that I have no reason to say these things thinking that anyone here doesn't know Jesus' voice. It's a reminder to all of us, especially to me, that we can depend on the lifetime, however much of our lifetime we spent listening to Jesus, we can depend on our ability to hear him getting better and better and better all the time. I'm less likely to mishear Jesus now than I was 20 years ago, and I think you are too. I look at the decisions that this church makes, and what I see over and over again are decisions made following the voice of Jesus, bringing honor to God. That happens because we have been faithful sheep. We have resisted the temptation to listen to strangers. We are now to the point where just about all the time, I think, we know exactly who's talking to us and exactly what we need to do. When we talk about sheep and shepherds, we're not talking about starting something new. We're taking a moment to rejoice in the length of relationship we have and all of the good things that it has provided for us. Look back over a lifetime of figuring out when we're hearing Jesus and when we're just hearing our own selfish desires and when we're hearing somebody else's mistaken or perhaps even malign advice, and realizing that the more time we spend at this, the better at hearing the real thing we are. And so this morning, I think it's worth it for us to remember that we're pretty successful sheep. You know, not patting ourselves on the back saying we've arrived and we have nothing more to learn. But I think it's a good thing for us now and then to just take a step back and say we've gotten good at this. Through the grace of God and the actions of the Holy Spirit, we are more able to hear Jesus telling us what it is that we need to hear now than we were before. And that's worthy of celebration, and it's worthy of note. And I'm glad to point it out to you and to me on this Sunday. Amen.